This shiur is dedicated to the refuah shleima of our dear, dear friend Chaim Feigenbaum, and we should all have kavana when listening to this shiur that the divrei Torah should be l'schusoi Chaim Yisocho ben Chaim Moshkot. He should have a refuah shleima and a v'richas shemen rishonim with his beautiful and wonderful family. This week's parsha is Parshas Veschanan, and the topic we will be discussing today is the most important, the most relevant topic, especially moving into the period of Bein Hazmanim, vacation period, camp period. And the topic will be a posik in this week's parsha, V'nishmartem Ma'oid L'Nafshei Yiseichem. As the Gemara says in Shabbos Daf Lamed Beis Amud Aleph, Lo Yamod Adam B'Mokom Sakona V'Yomar Osim Li Nes, Shema Ein Osim Lo Nes, Ve'im Tirtzeh Lo Yomer Osim Lo Nes, Menakim lo mizchuyotav. So the Gemara says a person is not entitled to put his life on the line, to put his life in jeopardy, and say, well, a Kodesh Baruch Hu will do a miracle. Who says a Kodesh Baruch Hu will perform a miracle? Maybe you aren't fitting for a miracle, and if you will be zeichet to a miracle, that miracle has a very steep price. Menachem lo mizchuyotav. And therefore Chazal make it very clear that a person cannot put himself into a situation of sakana. And I think this is a most important imperative, and we all have to speak about this to our talmidim and our children. To my terrible dismay, almost every year, Bein Hazmanim in Israel, and I assume the same is in America, there are so many tragedies. Yeshiva boys who aren't aware enough of the dangers of various activities and young children like adventure and excitement, but we must be mechanech our kids to take care of themselves and not to put their life in danger. So this is the Gemara, Shabbos Lamed Beis Amud Aleph, Tanas Daf Chof Amud Beis, and many other sources in Shas like Brochas Lamed Beis Amud Beis and Avodah Zarah Yud Beis Amud Beis, and all these various sources Chazal make it very clear that a person cannot put his life in danger, and v'nishmartem ma'oid l'nafshei seichem. That is the interpretation of Chazal regarding this pusik. The Chazal is in Brochas Lamed Beis Amud Beis. Interesting that the Rambam quotes this same pusik in Perek Yud Aleph of Hilchos Tzeiach in Halacha Daled, and I am quoting the Loshon of the Rambam. כל מכשול שיש בו סכנת נפשות, מצוות עשה להסירו ולהישמר ממנו ולהיזהר בדבר יופי יופי שנאמר, הישמר לכו ושמור נפשכו מאויד. The source is a story told in Brochas Daf Lamed Beis Amud Beis. Rav Yosef tells a story, Tana Rabbanan, Masa b'chosadecho shehoyu mispalel bederech. A chosid was standing and praying in the middle of the road, and a sar, a minister, walked over and he said hello, and the chassid did not respond because he was in the middle of the Shmoyin Esser. And that minister, obviously a very high ranked official, waited till the chassid finished his daily prayers, his davening. And when the chassid finished davening, the minister told him, Reika, v'halo katub b'toratchem rak hashomer lacho b'shmoyin nafshecho. וכסיב ונשמעת מועד לנפשכם. כשנתתי לך שלום, למה לא החזרת לי שלום? אם הייתי חותכת ראשך בסייף, if I would cut off your head, if I would behead you, nobody would demand your blood. So how did you put your life in jeopardy? Your Torah says, ונשמעת מועד לנפשכם. ישום הלכו ושמור נפשך ומועד. So the chosid said, well, let me tell you a marshal. Iru ha'yisi yoimed lefnei melech bosav adam, rabo chavecho venatan li shalom, hayita machzielo, amar lo lav. Im hayita machzielo, ma hayu osim lacha? Amar lo, hayu chotchim et roshi besayef. Amar lo. So the chosid tells the minister, והלא ידבורם קל וחוימר, ומה אתה שהיית עומד לפני מלך בוסו ודם, שיום קם ומחר בקבר, כך אני שהייתי עומד לפני מלך מלכי המלוכים, שהוא חי וקיים לעד ולעול מיילומים, על אחס, כמה וכמה, And that minister was convinced, and they said goodbye out of deep friendship. This is the story told in Brochas Lamed Beis Amud Beis. The Marsho has a very interesting comment there on this part, and the Marsho says, the person that quoted those two psukim, Yeshua Melecho v'shmoy nafshecho moed v'nishmartu moed v'nafshecheichem, was a Gentile. That was the non-Jewish minister. That was his mistaken interpretation. But the real pshat, the correct pshat, is in these two psukim that they refer to the nefesh and not to the guf. Not to one's life, but not to his biological life, but rather to his spiritual being. The Torah speaks about nefesh, and when the Torah says v'nishmartu moed v'nafshecheichem, if we read the context of this posuk, it deals with our spiritual level, the masav in ruchnius, dealing with avodah zarah, and it was a mistaken interpretation quoted by a non-Jew. That is the comment of the Masho. But, you know, the Masho is a commentator. He is not a poisik, and I don't think the Masho ever quotes a Rambam in the entirety of his magnificent commentary, the Gewaldige Sefer of Masho. But he's always pshat on the spot. He never quotes the Rambam or other Rishonim. And obviously, the Rambam does quote this posuk as the basis, as the basic rule that a person has to care for his well-being, for his life, and he is not allowed to put his life in jeopardy. As I quoted, Perek Yudalef El Chesutzeach V'Shmiras HaNefesh Shaloch HaDalet, and this Rambam quite clearly contradicts the Marsho's comment. So as I said, there are many sugyas in Shas in which we see that a person is totally prohibited of putting his life in danger. Is this a biblical prohibition or a rabbinical one? An Issa D'Oraisa or an Issa D'Rabbanan? Pashtus, the Lashonis of the Gemara seem to indicate that it is the Uraisa. However, the Rambam in Aloha Hei, that same Perek, writes, I am quoting his terminology, formulation, Har bedvorim mosu chachomim mipnei sheyesh behem sakanat nefashot, v'kol ha'uver aleihem, v'omer, hareini mesaken bi'atzmi umal achirim alai bekach, o eneni makpid bekach, makanoisoi, makasmardos. So the Rambam seems to make it very clear that we're dealing with an Issa D'Rabbanan and not an Issa D'Oraisa. It is not only the wording Osru Chachomim, but also the fact that it's Makas Mardas. Makas Mardas always refers to an Issa D'Rabbanan. By an Issa D'Oraisa, either there is Malkus or there is not Malkus, but Makas Mardas is the basic punishment penalty for an Issa D'Rabbanan. However, the Gemara dashes from the Posek, Shmarta Moed HaNafshesechem, and the Rambam in Aloha Dalet seems to make it very clear. Kol mechshol sheyesh bo sakanat nefeshot mitzvat aseh lehasiro velehishamer mimeno. So how do we reconcile Aloha Dalet and Aloha Hei in the same perek? My basic feeling is this. In very many shiurim in the past, and probably hopefully in the future as well, I made it very clear that we have a basic concept which I define as a mitzvah d'rabbanan she'ikroi min ha'Torah. Meaning, the basic principle is d'oraisa. However, the details are mid-rabbanan. Just to give an example, a vague example, Perek Yudala Devil Chazovel Halucha Aleph. The Rambam writes that Bikecholem Nichom Avelem Levoyes Ames Levoyes Achai. All these mitzvahs are medivrei soifrim. But the Rambam goes on to make it very clear that these mitzvahs are medivrei soifrim. Obviously, mitzvahs d'rabbanan. But they are all included in the general mitzvah of V'yuhavto L'reyacho Kamoicho. So the Rambam seems to contradict himself in the same halacha. Not in two halachas, but in the same halacha. Starting off by stating that these mitzvahs are all medivrei soifrim, mitzvahs d'rabbanan. However, going on to explain that they're all included in V'yuhavto L'reyacho Kamoicho, which obviously is a mitzvah d'oraisa and not a mitzvah d'rabbanan. So I explained at many occasions, Yahavtalayachokamoichu is a general concept, and it definitely is a mitzvah d'oraisa. But the Torah doesn't say how one is to love a fellow Jew, and how is one to express his feelings toward that fellow Jew. One could argue, well, I love a person in my heart, but I not necessarily am obliged to express that love in deeds or in actions. The Rambam makes it very clear, no. V'ahavta re'achu kamoichu is not only about your feelings and your emotions. It demands deeds and actions. It has to dictate the way to relate to other people and to interact with them. However, a person could express his affection or appreciation or love to another person in 1,000 ways. Men ha-Torah, there isn't one way or one code or formula in which we have to benefit another person or do good to him or express our positive feelings towards him. One could do so in many ways. Chachamim came along and Chachamim established a certain formula and a certain code in which one has to interact with another Jew, with his fellow Jew, in a positive way. And Chachamim said, "Bikur cholim, nechama velim, levoyes ameis, levoyes achai." All these are considered and defined. Gemilas chasonim begufoy, and they are all specifics, specific mitzvahs. So these specific mitzvahs are midrabanan. However, the general concept that a person has to benefit other people, and a person has to care for other people and do good to them, that is a mitzvah d'oraisa. And that is my interpretation of the Rambam. The specific mitzvahs are midrabanan, because min ha-Torah, a person could express his affection and love in many, many ways. However, these specific mitzvahs are midrabanan, based on a mitzvah d'oraisa v'ahavta l'reyachu kamoichu. And I think the same basic feeling would apply also to the mitzvah of v'nishmarta me'od l'nafshei seichem. Min ha-Torah, a person has to care for his well-being, for his life, and for his health. And a person cannot get into danger, he cannot put his life in jeopardy. However, min ha-Torah is a very general concept. It is extremely difficult and maybe impossible to define each and every situation. What is the level of sakana? What is the degree of sakana? And therefore, Chachamim came along and Chachamim institute various halachas. There are some things which a person is not entitled to do because of the danger involved. So the general concept is a d'oraisa, even though the specifics are midrabanan. And we find similar sugyas in very, very diverse and different sugyas. I just give two examples. One is the sugya we're dealing with this week, v'nishmarta me'od l'nafshei seichem, and the other example is Rambam in Hilchos Aveilos regarding the mitzvah of v'ahavta l'reyacho kamoicho. When we go through Shas, we find many sources, and I will quote five, but there are some more. Gedoyla Tanuam v'Amarom, the greatest sages of our heritage and history, obviously, in certain circumstances, put their life in danger to help others or to mimikaim various mitzvahs. And I'll just give a few examples. In Tanas Daf Chof Aleph, there's the famous story told about Nochem Ish Gamzu. Nochem Ish Gamzu was old and ill, and obviously he was approaching the end of his life, and he was in a churva, a house that was about to fall, collapse. His disciples worried for his life, so they wanted to take him out of the house, and after he's going to be safely out of the house, to try to salvage whatever could be salvaged and saved, the utensils, the furniture. So Nochem Ishganzi tells them, no, you leave me in the house, because as long as I'm here, I promise you the house will not collapse. It will not fall down. So first of all, take out anything precious to you, and only later take me out. And as they took out furniture, valuables, whatever they really needed and cared for, and only later did they take out Nochem Ishganzi, the great tzaddik. As they took him out of the house was sure to collapse. The house collapsed. So obviously it was a house that was about to fall apart. How did Nochem Ishganzi put his life in jeopardy? Based on his feeling that as long as he is in the house will not fall down. Sugya number two is in Brochas Lamed Gimel Lamed Aleph, the great Tana, Reb Chanina ben Doise. Reb Chanina ben Doise is a very interesting phenomenon, one of the greatest Tanaim. However, in the entirety of Bavli and Yerushalmi, there is not even one halachic memra of Reb Chanina ben Doise. What we do find very many sugyas in Shas is Moifsim, Brochas. He was the Rebbe, the Admor of Tkufas HaTanoim. There is no Mamore Halacha in Shas from Reb Chanina ben Doise, only Midas Chassidus, and primarily stories of his Brochas and his Moifsim. So in Brochas Lamed Gimel Lamed Aleph, Chazal tale, there was a place in which there was a terrible serpent that killed many people. Obviously a very a dangerous animal, and they told the Chanina ben Doise that this animal is terrorizing the entire town. So the Chanina ben Doise asked to see where that animal's burrow is. Many snakes burrow into the ground, so they showed him where his burrow is. And he takes off his shoe, puts his foot right there, and sure enough, the serpent comes out and bites him, and one of the two dies. You could obviously guess which of the two. The serpent bites the Chanina ben Doise and dies. So he said, Oy la Adam shepegabo arod. Oy la arod shepega b'Reb Chanina ben Doise. And they brought that serpent to the Beis Medrash, and Reb Chanina ben Doise tells all the lamdim in Beis Medrash, "Ru'u banai, ein arod meimes elu achet meimes." So Reb Chanina ben Doise, as great as he was, deliberately put his life in danger, and obviously he was zeichet to an ace. But how could he rely on an ace? Kedushin Chof Tesamet Beis. Rabbi Yankev Breid Rav Acha Bayankev Shad Rabbi Yekamad Abaye. There was this town, and there was one house in that town that was full of mazikim. We don't know exactly what mazikim are, but in the time of Chazal we find many stories regarding mazikim. And there was one specific house that had mazikim. Anybody that stayed in that house was hurt, and it was frightening. It terrorized the entire town. So Abaye asks Rev Yankov, Breder of Achabe Yankov, to come and stay in the town for Shabbos. He was invited as a guest. And Abaye tells all residents, don't let him into your house, so that he will have to stay in that house that was terrorized by Mazikin. And he actually stood there. He was there for Shabbos. And there was a seven-headed serpent that attacked him. And he davened, and he bowed, and each time he bowed, one of the seven heads of that dragon dried up and fell off. And after he finished davening, after seven ishtachvoyes, that dragon was gone. And he saved the town from that terrible mazik. So once again, you know, the question here is even a greater question, because it was not the tzaddik himself that put his life in danger, but actually Abaye endangered Rav Yaakov's life. How could he do that? I think that's a greater question than the previous ones, the previous two sugyas, and that's the Gemara in Kedushin Chof Tesamen Beis. Ksubis Nayan Zayin Amid Beis, Chazal tell us about a terrible plague, an epidemic of Rasan. Rasan is a certain leprosy, Tzara'at. And as we know, in history, people were terribly afraid of lepers. They usually were sent to cities, different faraway places, because Tzara'at is very, very contagious, and it's a terrible disease. And everybody shied away from those lepers. The only one that did not shy away was the Bishua ben Levi, who went into their homes, sat together with them, and taught them Torah. And when he was asked, how come you're not afraid? Why do you put your life in danger? The Bishua ben Levi responded and said, Torah maik sivbo, ayelas ohovam v'yalas chein, em chein mala alam deyo agunelo magne. Torah saves us, guards us from kol tzar v'nezek. So once again, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi puts his life in jeopardy for what? To be mekayim the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. Now, Kedushin HaMetes is a discussion on the Gemara Shlichim Mitzvah Nezaiken, Eina Nezaiken, but the conclusion of that sugi is when it's Boria Zeike, a person cannot rely on the mitzvah to be megan. So how come Rabbi Shia ben Levi does rely on the mitzvah? Now, I don't know whether my explanation will be satisfactory to most of the people listening to the shir. However, that is the Torah of the Rashba, one of the greatest of our Rishonim. Tshuvas HaRashba Chelek Aleph Siman Tov Yud Gimel. After discussing at great length that even a tremendous chosen and tzaddik cannot rely on an ace, Ein Soimchan al an ace is a basic axiom. Nevertheless, the Rashba writes that the greatest of the great, the holiest of the holy, those great Tanoim that were greater than angels from above, they had a different anhoga, and they were entitled even to put their life in danger when Ruach HaKodesh told them, and they knew and felt in the depth of their hearts and beings that a Kodesh Baruch Hu will make an S, and the objective, the goal towards which they are putting their life in danger is such a tremendous one, and that is what the Rashba says. Now, the Rashba does not bring the many sugyas I quoted in the past 15 minutes, but he does deal with Reb Hanina ben Doisa, and that is the explanation of the Rashba. Quoting the Rashba's formulation, Zeh Kolel, the rule of Ein Samchan al Anes, Kolel Kol Eskei Bnei Adam Bemelachtam, Zulati HaAnashim HaShlemim, Shezchuyoteihem Merubot, כמייסד דרב חנינה בן דויסה עם הערוד שאמר שאמרו אוי לו לאדם שפגע בו ערוד אוי לו לערוד שפגע ברב חנינה בן דויסה. There is a concept that we find a few sources in Shas of Shoyma Pesoyim Hashem. Shabbos Kuf Choftes Omid Beis Yevomis Yud Beis Omid Beis Yevomis Ayin Beis Omid Beis and some additional sources in Shas. Avodah Zorah Lamed Omid Beis is one of the more relevant sources. The Gemara says the sugya there deals with Gilui. The Litvish people today are Machpedan Gilui, Chasidim are not Machpedan Gilui. The concept of Gilui is when there's water which was not overlooked. Water that was left unchecked, without supervision. You cannot drink that water because Rechoshish, maybe a snake, dragged from that water and put some of his venom into that water and it may be a sakona. Now, I don't want to go into biology. The Cheshash seems to be far-fetched, but that is a takana of Chazal. And the machloikas between the Gra and many other poiskim is today, in our cities and towns, when snakes are extremely uncommon in our homes, it is very, very unreasonable to be choishish that I left the room for 5 minutes and I left a cup of water on the table that a snake got in and drank from the water. We also know that reptiles don't drink. It's been a while since anybody saw a snake drinking water. But, however, that's an issa we find in the Chazal, and the machlokes is whether today we are choshish to that issa or not. But basically, Chazal say that the concept of giri is not only by water, but fruits that don't have a peel on their entirety. So, the Gemara says in Avodah Zorah, Lama Dama Dabeis, a person is entitled to eat dates by night, even though he can't examine those dates thoroughly, whether they were punctured or not. Shomer Pasoim Hashem. What is the concept of Shomer Pasoim Hashem? When could a person rely and do things that might involve Sakona and say Shomer Pasoim Hashem? To make a long discussion short, I think that the concept of Shomer Pasoim Hashem is defined by the term Shomer Pasoim Hashem. Why Pesi? If a person is engaged in any activity that is broadly accepted, it is something that people usually do, and he is not aware that this might cause sakana. In those cases, we say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu watches out for a person, and he could rely on Shomer Pasoim Hashem. But it is only when he is unaware that this activity might involve a sakana. There is a tshuva in Tchumas Adesh and Simen Reish Yud Aleph dealing with the concept of katlanis, and the Tchumas Adesh says one cannot marry a katlanis and say Shomer Pasoim Hashem, because it is well known that Chazal were choshish for katlanis. It is only when a person is ignorant to a certain danger, he is not aware that he might be putting his life in jeopardy, and it is accepted practice, he is not doing something strange or something that people do not usually do. And in those cases, a person relies on the Haftacha, on the Pasuk, Shomer Pasoim Hashem. I would like to take time, a few minutes, and share with you something I am very, very troubled about, and that is cigarette smoking. Some of our young boys in yeshivas smoke cigarettes. In the Western world, cigarette smoking in the past 20 or 30 years has seen a very dramatic decline, and millions and millions of people, tens of millions, stop smoking. There are far less smokers today than there were 30 or 40 years ago. And to my dismay, dafka in some of our yeshivas, cigarette smoking is not down. And I want to say this in the harshest of terms. I think that Rabbonim and Rosh Hashivas and Admoirim atidim latet et adin, because today there is no longer any doubt that cigarette smoking kills people. And when I see those young boys, young, beautiful, healthy boys smoking cigarettes, and some of them are chain smokers, it tears my heart to shreds, because b'derech hateva, some of those young people will die. And it is futile. I definitely think it is belongs into the context of Benishmartem Moed Lenafshei Seichem. So some youngsters and some Talmidei Chachamim argue, but some great Gedolim were smokers. I think that is a totally irrelevant argument. And I say this with the utmost clarity. In those days, it wasn't known that cigarette smoking is hazardous to your health. 200 years ago, there was a big machlokes between Gedolim. 200, 300, 400 years ago, whether a person could smoke on Yom Tov, whether it is something which is defined as Shova Lachol Nefesh, because only Shova Lachol Nefesh is permitted a Malacha and Yom Tov. So some Gedolim, like the Pnei Yeshua and others, say, even if many people don't smoke, because it is well known that smoking tobacco is beneficial to your health, and therefore it's Mutar on Yom Tov. So, many years ago, people actually thought that smoking tobacco was beneficial to your health. So in those days, many Gedolim paskened that you're entitled to smoke even in Yom Tov. However, this is beyond doubt. Only a total fool will argue today that cigarette smoking has any benefit. It is beyond doubt an established fact that cigarette smoking tobacco kills people, and therefore it is an Isser Gomer today to smoke, and a person cannot even argue Shem Epesor Mashem, just like the Tumas Edition writes about the Din of Katlanas. When a danger is well established and beyond doubt, this rule of Shem Epesor Mashem no longer applies. I said many times in my yeshiva and in my kollel and in my shul, in my eyes, if I see a young boy smoking, it is as if I see him sitting in a treif restaurant eating nevelas or treifas. It is maybe even worse, because Chazal say chamira sekanta misura. So I was once asked, could a person smoke on Yom Tov? And my psak was yes. Why yes? Because ein nisa chalalisa, and it's an issa to smoke any day. So according to the concept of ein issa chalalisa, maybe one cannot say there's an issa to smoke on Yom Tov. I hope everybody understands that the psak I just gave was in a slightly humorous note. But today we're not dealing with Hilchas Yom Tov, but rather with Hilchas V'Nishmarta Ma'oida Nafshe Seicham Shmiras Aguf V'Nefesh. So I want to make it very clear. In my opinion, it's not only a Midas Chassidus, it's not something which is ra'ui to shy away from. It's an Isser Gomer. I know that Reb Moshe writes in a tshuva, and he is much more fuzzy and lenient. He's not so adamant. He writes that a person is not allowed to smoke in public because he might be causing this discomfort or tsar to other people, or danger. But Moshe's Shuvu was written many years ago. I am totally convinced that today Rav Moshe would say the same as I am presently saying. 30 years ago, maybe there was room for some people out of ignorance to say, well, maybe cigarette smoking has its benefits. Today we know beyond doubt it has no benefits. It is harmful. It is a sakana, and therefore it is totally prohibited. Why do I speak about youngsters? Because at a certain stage, some people just don't have the ability to stop smoking. And maybe they could be defined as an oines lechamone patrei. If they are an oines, then maybe they could smoke on Shabbos as well. Because manav shech, if you're an oines lechamone patrei applies across the board. Besides gili arayis, shvichas domim, and avodah zorah, oines is potter, all the mitzvahs. So that would include Shabbos. If you don't smoke on Shabbos, obviously you're not an oinus, then you cannot smoke on weekdays. Well, maybe we've taken this to a certain extreme, and sometimes I express myself in extreme ways just to drive the point home. So if we deal with Benishmata Moedan Afshasechem, this is one of the issues we have to state loudly and clearly in all the yeshivas and the Chatzedes of Chassidim and Litvish Yeshivas, and wherever it may be. Cigarette smoking is an Issa. It's an Issa Diuraisa, and is something which we should not be in any way tolerant about. As I said at the beginning of this year, it is vacation time, and boys and girls and families engage in many activities which they usually don't do in other periods of the year, which is hiking and canoeing, and it is benafshenu that we are machanach our children. Whatever you do in accordance to rules and regulations, and the klolim of shmiras haguf v'nevesh, and not to be mezalzel in rules and regulations. Sometimes we have this tendency, you know, we have our shulchan aruch, so we have the tendency to be mezalzel in anything that they say. They meaning, you know, the goyim, the counselors and the instructors, and that is a terrible mistake. Every person authorized in his field should have utmost authority in his field of expertise, in his field of responsibility, and therefore we should listen carefully to what professional people tell us when we are engaged in any recreation, any sport, or any pastime which we usually are engaged in Bein HaZmanim. So let me just finish this part of the shiur with the note we just mentioned briefly at the beginning of the shiur. The Mashu argues that V'nishmat Moed L'Nafsh HaSeichem deals with your spirituality, with your ruchnius. And it was only that non-Jewish minister that had a mistaken interpretation speaking about V'nishmata Moed L'Nafsh HaSeichem regarding Shmiras HaGuf V'Hachayim. We pointed out that the Rambam makes it very clear that interpretation is halacha. However, let us not forget that V'nishmata Moed L'Nafsh HaSeichem has two different perushim. One is Shmiras HaGuf and the other one is the neshama. And this is equally important when we're dealing with vacation time, with camp time. Every boy should dedicate a substantial time of every day to Talmud Torah, to learning with Chavrusa. And that's a chiyuv gomer. Chayav odom l'lmud Torah b'yoyim u'b'layla. And we should have zdorim. And I know that is actually what we have, but ein mezarzen elo lemezarzen. And let us not forget, v'nishmartem moed l'nafsh HaSeichem applies to the guf, to your life, but also to your ruchnius and spirituality. And in a time of summer, when we're out in the mountains and the camps, in vacationing, we should, you know, take care of our ruchnius, shmiras enayim, shmiras hamachshava, shmiras hapeh, and dedicate a few hours each day, at least, to Talmud Torah. I cannot finish the shiur on Parshas Veschanan without relating to the beginning of the Parsha, Veschanan El Hashem. Moshe Rabbeinu davened 550 in Tfilas, Tov Kuf Tef Svov Tfilas, with one request. He wanted to go into Eretz Yisrael, and that request was not granted. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Moshe, my beloved child, you will not go into Eretz Yisrael. And sometimes we come to think, whatever happened with those 515 tefillahs? Did they go nowhere? Is that possible? Were those 515 tefillahs more precious than any tefillahs HaKadosh Baruch Hu has ever heard or will ever hear? Because Moshe Rabbeinu was greater than any other human being that ever roamed the earth. Did those tefillahs sink into oblivion? No effect. Totally unacceptable. I want to give you an idea which emphasizes the importance of tefillah. The Baal Shem Tov said, Dvorim ho'oimdim beru Moshe lo'ilom, that is how Chazal defined tefillah in Brochus, Daf Ova Medbeis. So the Baal Shem Tov said, why are we mezalzel and tefillahs? Because sometimes the people feel that his tefillahs went unheard. We daven for a refuah shleimah, and sometimes it just doesn't happen, and it breaks our hearts, And in time, we developed a feeling that maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't even listen to our prayers, and that's Chas V'Sholom. The Baal Shem Tov said, every tefillah goes up to the heavens. Tachas Kisya Kovid. Every tefillah is vor moim dem beru moishal oilam. But not always do we know how HaKadosh Baruch Hu responds to our tefillahs. But we must believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu listens to every tefillah that comes out of a pure heart. When a tefillah is yoytze min halev, it is always oimed beru moishal oilam. But sometimes HaKadosh Baruch Hu answers our prayers in unexpected ways that we may never understand or appreciate. So what happened with Moshe Rabbeinu's Tov Kuf Tesvav Tfilas? I want to give you an idea, share with you an idea which I was very inspired when it just occurred to me. Moshe Rabbeinu Olo B'Sar HaShemayimo Beis Alofim Tov Peches Mebriyas Oilam. 2488 years Mebriyas Oilam Moshe Rabbeinu Ole B'Sar HaShemayimo. This world will exist in its present form. 6,000 years? Is that what you all know? Yes, that's a Gemara three times in Shas. Rosh Hashanah, Lamed Aleph, Omed Aleph, Avodah Zorah, Tes, Omed Aleph, Sanhedrin, Tzadik Zayin, Omed Aleph. However, in some other sources, Medrash Oisiyas de Rebbe Akiva, the Yoitzo, that some Ashkenazim say Shabbos before Shavuos, there is a more exact number. 6,093 years. If we subtract 2,488 from 6,093, we're left with 3,605 years. 3,605 is exactly 515 Shmitten. Tov Kuf Tezvov Shmitten. So my feeling is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe Rabbeinu, Moshe, your prayers are precious to me, but I have one of two options. Either I grant your request and you will come into Eretz Yisrael, or maybe I will take your 515 tefillahs and grant them to your children and grandchildren to enhance their koyach and their chances of making it to the finishing line of going through this terrible gullus, thousands of years of hesdaponim, and arriving leketz hayamin shleimim betumosam beemunosam, and to see to it that they make it. Those were the 515 tefillahs of Moshe Rabbeinu. They saved and salvaged us, Klal Yisrael, for 515 shmitten. Do I have any basis for this idea? Yes, I do. Medrash Tanchuma, when Moshe Rabbeinu davens those tefillahs, and his request is Abrono, Kodesh Baruch Hu turns to Moshe and he says, Moshe, in the past you asked Slachno, Abrono or Slachno, which of the two do you choose? And Moshe Rabbeinu says, I am staying right here. Slachno la'avoyin hu'am ese. So Moshe Rabbeinu willingly was mevata to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I prefer Slachno and not Abrono. So those precious tefillahs, more precious than any other the heavens have ever known, those tefillahs were granted to Klal Yisrael. And it is only in the schus of those tefillahs that we are here today, that we will make it b'korav b'yameinu to the finishing line b'keitz hayamin. So this week started off with the sad days of Tisha B'Av, and it ends with Parshas Ve'eschanan. Let us all daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as individuals and as a people, as a tzibur and as a nation. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should send Yeshua's v'nachamos and b'seiris teiris meheru yabona beis amigdash. We should be zoicha b'korov to be as Moshiach tzidkenu b'mehero v'yomenu. Amen.